deliver you in the Lord, and to esteem them very highly in love because of them, be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. This is the word of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who inspired that word, who has preserved that word, who now works to illuminate our hearts and to reveal the truths of your word to us. I pray that we would be receptive. You would help us to set aside distractions. Yes, distractions from without, distractions of others about us or noises or voices or whatever it may be, but more than that, distractions from our own minds. We have a tendency to let our minds wander, and we think about what we did yesterday and what we're going to do this afternoon and how tired we are and what tasks we have before us and what a week we are looking forward to or regret or dreading or whatever it may be. Lord, I pray that you would help us to set those thoughts aside and allow your Holy Spirit to do his work in our minds and our hearts, transforming work because of your word. We'll give you the glory and we'll give you the honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we are nearing the end of our study through the Apostle Paul's first letter or epistle to the Church of the Thessalonians. What we have, what we just read, sort of seems like kind of like last-minute instructions maybe from the Apostle. You know, maybe he's, well, I better wind this letter up, but I still got a bunch of things I need to say, and so let me just list them all off, and let me give you a whole long list. Maybe he wanted to cover a whole bunch of other topics, he just didn't have time to get to it. Well, I don't think that's the case at all. I don't think we'd be accurate in our assessment of the end of this epistle if that was our conclusion. What we do have here, I believe, is a very organized, a very structured set of instructions. And as we're going to look at them, I think we're going to see that they're grouped into four categories. Paul is writing to believers, the believers of Thessalonica, about their dealings, about their interactions with four particular people or groups of people. He's not merely trying to throw out a bunch of information right at the end of his letter. Information that, you know, in some jumbled fashion, just throw it out there. Not at all. His concern has been and continues to be for the glory of the Lord through the lives of these believers. And so what I want you to see here in our text as he addresses these Christians are commitments that believers are to have, number one, to leadership in the church, number two, to the well-being of others, number three, to their own faithfulness personally, and then number four, to the balance within the local church. And I want you to see that the central proposition of this text, what these verses are primarily about, is this. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus that those who are a part of the local church commit themselves to follow these instructions regarding their responsibilities to each other as believers. So let's get started with, first of all, commitment to leadership in the church. Go back to verse 12 of chapter 5. He writes this. He says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." Paul begins his exhortation with a focus on the leadership within the local church. First of all, he calls for a commitment of action. A commitment of action. He writes, "Now we ask you, brothers." We ask you, brothers. This is the first of two verbs, as we're going to see in these two verses. And while this the term simply is that of asking or requesting,